SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Travers Weekend Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And it is the point you anticipate all year when it comes to Saratoga New York Bred Showcase Day. I'm kidding. I'm only kidding a little. Tongue in cheek. No, it's a great day, though. This is always a fun card, whether it's occurring upstate or downstate. When the New York Breds trot out and pair up, that kicks things off today, and it's a fun card. And there's some very tough decisions. The 2-year-old races are terrific, actually. The Seeking the Ante and the Funny Side, fairly young when it comes to their addition to the Saratoga slate. But after this, once we get through this 11-race card, everything focuses on the Travers Day slate. And the focus always when we are building up to a weekend like this, the feature gets all the attention leading up. And, of course, the Tuesday draw contributes to that. It gets people, you know, in the mood to discuss the race. And there's plenty to figure out. It is not easy. And it's certainly coming at the end of a series of very good grade ones. It's going to be a little tricky building the multi-race tickets. We'll get some help as much as we can muster and see if there's a consensus or if there's strong opinions and nice parade of visitors starting first hour with the familiar DRF team. Jay Pridman will kick us off at 9:15, early first call for Priv out west, 6:15 out there. We'll get his Travers thoughts as well as some of his thoughts about the West Coast Invaders. And Baffert, of course, in town with a couple of horses between Abel Tasman and Marley's Freedom. See what Jay thinks. And, of course, City of Light, Michael McCarthy. And here's an opportunity for the newly minted Lane's End Stallion in the forego. And one of the themes, I know this will come up when we talk to Nick Tamro, because I saw Nick tweet about it, and I was thinking the exact same thing. And that was, there isn't breakaway speed in the two grade ones for elders, the Ballerina and the Forego. There's not open mouth, need the lead types stacked on top of each other. So some pace questions to decide. Nick will be with us top of hour two. You can see Nick today. He'll be on with Andy on Talking Horses. So you'll get opportunity to hear Nick's opinions, and when he and Andy are together, it's a lot of fun. Nick gets this occasion on a semi-regular basis when he comes up from Texas. You can look forward to that. We'll look forward to Nick. We'll look forward to James Scully, who's in town. Scully comes on a regular basis annually, it seems, for Travers. So we'll get James, his look. John Nichols, as always, has headed back to Kentucky. But we'll talk to Clocker John. We'll get two Clocker views, not just of the Travers participants, but of any other notable participants on the card. And that includes those tough maiden races. We got, as always, some maiden matchups that are going to be a little a little difficult. The turf race in particular, that mile and a 16th on the inner for the two-year-old boys. And, you know, I guess the easy way out is, you know, looking toward a Chad Brown trainee, but and it is, there happens to be Digital Footprint as the 2-to-1 favorite, but almost everybody has had an experience, has had a start, so you could get some move-ups on stretch-outs and so forth. That's a tough decision. In fact, today in the New York Bred slate, the fourth race? I think it's the fourth. There's two-year-old fillies stretching out on the grass, and it's just a hodgepodge. It's just a kind of a miasma of horse flesh. I don't think anything will surprise me, to be honest. But the Alan Jerkins, the personal ensign, the ballerina, the forego, the sword dancer, and the trappers, an all grade one pick six, and then the Boston Spa. So Travers Day, dead ahead, and it's our focus late in the show. Ed DeRosa, Rick Hammerly, and Mike Welsh. And I, by all rights, I did not reach out for Mary Rampolini. I probably should have, and there's a few different reasons for that. I want to, you know what, let me get those out of the way right away. It's opening day at Remington, and they'll run the Remington Green, the $100,000 mile and an eighth turf stake to kick off the season. A nice field of 11, actually, and that includes the Brad Cox trainee that we've talked about with both Brad and with Marshall Graham. Dot Matrix, 8-5 in there. But there's some familiar horses like Turbo Street and Rated R Superstar Kenny McPeak and more. So Bart Evans has got fact-finding. So the season at Remington underway, and that is tonight. You've got a chance if you want to stay up late between Del Mar's late action on a Friday, and then feeds right into you can basically play today from about noon until past midnight. So I didn't want to let that one go under the radar. I certainly want to remind about Philadelphia, the Smarty Jones. And Smarty Jones is contentious. Local prep leading the Pennsylvania Derby, the Grade 3, mile and a 16th. And Michael McCarthy, who's really, really starting to roll. And Axelrod shows up here. Had been rumored for a little bit about Travers. Settles for this spot, obviously with designs on the Pennsylvania Derby. Flame Away, 2-1. And rightly so for Mark Cassie. Title Ready turned up in here for Steve Asmussen. And Jason Service and the pair of... We see Jason, obviously, on a regular basis here in New York, but John Service with First Mondays in here, as well as Diamond King coming out of the Ohio Derby, where he was kind of a mild, picked up the last significant check. There's also a horse, Eddie Coletti, the Fantasy Lane bred Wait For It, who's okay. Kind of interesting in here. Don't 12-1. Don't just gloss over that one. And there's also the PTHA, the President's Cup, the Dabunda, and Paige McKenney coming out of a couple of races at Monmouth, the Island and the Monmouth Cup, where the veteran 8-year-old fell a little short. It wasn't favored in either, but lost the Harlan Punch in the Island and was behind Name Changer and Zanotti in the Monmouth Cup, but won the Salvatore Mile, of course, back in May. The hard hitter, who is 6-7 when he goes to Bensalem. 6 wins, 1 second in 7 starts at Philadelphia Park. Yeah, kind of imposing, to say the least. Navarro shows up with Aztec Sense. who's on a roll, kind of cherry picking low hanging fruit. But he's okay. He's been consistent. You've also got Thirst for Life, Wes Hawley, coming out of the Cornhusker, an Eastern foray for Hawley. He owns this Stay Thirsty gelding. And Gary, Siaka is going to go down with Yellow Moon's Small Bear, and Small Bear back in the Siaka barn. And Gary's going to put him back on the dirt after an extensive series of solid enough performances on the grass. Interesting move. Small Bear underneath, maybe at a price. So there's just part of the action, and of course the Pat O'Brien at Del Mar as well. We'll talk to Jay about that, and Hammer will be with us later, and Mike Welch. I promised you two clockers, you get two for the price of one. Clocker John Nichols and stopwatch Mike Welch. Quick survey from yesterday mentioning Del Mar. I'll the heady allowance yesterday on the grass. Stevens, $20.60. She's a Milky Way. Peter Urton. That was a good group. The Saratoga action yesterday. I kind of was kicking myself in that early pick five. Which I had structured a little better, handicapped fine. Before the pick five started, though, yesterday, Optimus Prime, with the focus on Gordon Elliott and the two invaders from Ireland, well, it was Optimus Prime who made a first North American start in the New York Turf Riders Cup. The Deportivo six-year-old Richard Hendricks sends out for Rose Bryan and a excellent performance. Wins clear under Ross Garrity, who celebrated his 100th win on the jump circuit. Congratulations to Ross. And the price was right, 7-1. That new member that I talked about with Sean, well, I bet new member, and ran well. And just couldn't get to the winner. It was a good second in here. Iranistan, who ended up going off favored, which was I was a little surprised at how heavily bet new member ended up, a little under 2-1, and ran well again. Two Grade One placings this summer at the Spa for Jonathan Shepard and Hudson River. For their Einstein gelding. Don't forget, he's a four-year-old. He's got a long jump career ahead of him. But congratulations to the Optimus Prime team, and he obviously is going to be a major player here in North America. The two Euros, the two Elliott runners, Clercam disappointed. He chased the pace, and it was too sharp for him. So we'll look for him toward Far Hills, as Sean suggested. Maybe that's more what he wants, the undulating courses. The rest of the action was fairly straightforward up to Dashing Dan, and this is why I've said I was a little disappointed with my ticket structure. I mean, to have the $23 and change winner, $23.80, and then I really leaned on Our Honor, who, was a drop down and was going to get claimed. Linda Rice took Our Honor. But expert, Patty Reynolds, congratulations to Patty. And Bob Amendola, who is terrific with Patty, and they deserve that. That was great. And then later, the end of the card, Trombetta, by the way, Monte Cristo. That was a nice 10-20 winner. Fixed Point, 27-60. To pay off things, $48,000 pick six and $800 pick four and a handsome pick five, $7,200. This was a haveable sequence. a terrific Travers weekend. We'll kick it off. Jay Pridman next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
One early morning, as I was walking, I met a woman, started talking. I took her home to get a few nips, but all I had was a mint julep. One mint julep was the cause of it.
We're back at the races. Too early for a mint julep? It's not too early to think about two-year-olds already, and that's always part of the Saratoga and the Del Mar action, Ellis Park too. But the focus for this weekend, the Travers. And we, of course, track the Derby and Triple Crown Trail with Jay Pridman all winter long into the spring, and now we're tracking toward Breeders' Cup Classic. Travers with a fascinating group of 11. Jay Pridman, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. Looking forward to the weekend, and you got plenty of good racing continuing, of course, at Del Mar, including the Pat O'Brien, featuring the return of Battle of Midway. Looking forward to getting some thoughts on that. But let's start with the Glamour Division, the three-year-olds.
Well, it's the Glamour Division in the spring.
Now it's not so glamorous, huh? It's lost its allure.
The fun time now is the fun thing now will be, you know, coming out of this to see which of these horses step up and can run well against an older horse division that seems really top heavy with a few good ones, and then it really empties out after that too. But we're basically playing the we're glad Justify's gone game. In the three-year-old division now. But the Travers is a fun race. You've got just so many good angles with Good Magic, who ran two good races in the first two legs of the Triple Crown and then got a nice break and came back with a big effort in his one start since. Gronkowski, who to me, was a surprise second in the Belmont, and obviously he's a better horse than I had thought he was coming over from Great Britain, and, you know, so Chad Brown's got a nice 1-2 punch. As you know, I've always been a big fan of Catholic Boy. I just think he's a gorgeous horse, and that his performances have been terrific, and now we'll see if he can go back to the dirt and run well, and then, of course, you've got the intrigue of Wonder Godot in the race. So it's a really, really good race.
Any firm opinion in terms of a winner?
I mean, I really think the race goes through Good Magic. I think the concern over his aptitude at a mile and a quarter is not necessarily justified. I think he ran a winning kind of race in the Kentucky Derby most years and just couldn't quite get past, you know, the best horse in the division this year. And I think it was circumstances that compromised the way he ran in the Preakness. They used different tactics than they did in the Kentucky Derby. And I think he's just, with maturity and all that, I think he's just better suited to it. So it's a chalky pick, but I really think he's, you know, he always gets good positional speed. He's got good tactical speed. He's not going to fall out the back and have to weave his way through a lot of traffic. I just think he's the right horse. And then, you know, I still have my fanboy addiction to Catholic Boy, and I'd really like to see him make the transition to dirt better now than he did when he was trying to be a Kentucky Derby prospect earlier in the year. Because we know he's a top-class grass horse, and they can certainly go back to the grass if it doesn't work out tomorrow. But, you know, to me, there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to handle the dirt, and I'm just hoping that, you know, that now he can with the added maturity that he's got. And, you know, in the beginning of the year, they were sort of trying to figure out what best route to go with him to get to the Derby, and it just didn't quite work out. But I really think he's a top class horse, and I'd like to see him run as well on dirt as we know he can run on grass.
Jay, before we talk about a few West Coast invaders, Bob Baffert's presence, and of course Michael McCarthy shows with the City of Light, I'm just curious what your read is on the handling of Mendelsohn and what, you know, what the prospects are for him in these, you know, now regular sojourns to North America.
I mean, I was willing to give him a mulligan for the Derby because, I mean, he got mugged at the start of that race and he had no chance after the way it unfolded. But I thought his race in the Dwyer was pretty bad. And, you know, for whatever reason, Aidan O'Brien's horses have just not been firing in general. I mean, he's had the occasional outlier, but he hasn't had a real good last month and a half or so in Europe. There have been reports that there was a virus that had gone through his barn, and so you just add all that up, it's just hard for me to like Mendelsohn. Really, when you look at his UAE Derby, I mean, it was achieved in optimum circumstances. He got loose on the lead, the pace wasn't that fast, and he was running against the wind that day, and so I just think he got a lot more dressed up in that race than he really is. So it's hard for me to like him. Again, the Derby, I'm not willing to criticize him for, because most horses would have had absolutely no chance the way he just got wiped out at the start of that race. But I thought his last race at Belmont Park was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, we'll see where things go. And their ultimate goal here is the Breeders' Cup Classic. And well, just one of the other moving parts in a pretty fascinating field of 11, the Travers Stakes. Let's talk about the West Coast invasion, and it's hard not to be impressed with what feels like an extended breakout season for Michael McCarthy. City of Light signed on by Lane's End for stallion duties, and looks to be well drawn the outside to survey the field in the forego.
Yeah, I think he's going to run a huge race. I mean, the two best training horses at Del Mar this summer have been him and Catalina Cruiser. They just tout themselves every morning, and this horse has trained extremely well for this race. He had the minor foot issue that kept him out of a potential start in the Whitney about a month ago, but he's trained well since going back into having a regular breeze pattern. And like you said, Steve, he couldn't have drawn better for the race. And I think he's sitting on a huge effort tomorrow.
Well, City of Light will be favored 9-5 and can really survey not a ton of speed. And if he needs to go, so be it. Rad Ortiz will be in his hands. Baffert shows up with two runners, Marley's Freedom and in the Ballerina, and Abel Tasman. Been kind of waiting and seeing where she was, you know, going to start her assault toward the distaff, and she draws the rail for a pretty elite group in the personal ensign, considering Elate's presence, Farrell, Wowcat, kind of got mugged a little bit in the Shuvi. Thoughts on Baffert in the Ballerina and the personal ensign?
So in the personal ensign, like you said, he's got Abel Tasman, Marley's Freedom for the Ballerina. You know, Abel Tasman is trained well, but obviously she's going back into the home field advantage there for Elate. I mean, it should be a terrific matchup between those two. I mean, we've seen them duel before, and I think it'll be another memorable race between them. I like the draw better for Elate being able to be outside of Abel Tasman. But, you know, Abel Tasman is, if she runs back to what we saw on Belmont Stakes Day, she's going to be, you know, she's going to give Elate all she can handle. But that's a real toss-up, and, you know, you might even want to give a slight edge to Elate just because of the, you know, being more familiar and having trained at Saratoga. Obviously, Abel Tasman can run well there. You know, Marley's Freedom has really come on over the last few months, and you know, her win at Los Alamitos was a pretty handy victory. She dominated the horses that she ran against that day, and she's continued to train right on and has been outworking some, you know, horses like Move to Hege in a recent drill. She was the better of the two in a team drill. And I think she's really become perhaps the best horse in that division at this moment. And she's going to be very, very formidable tomorrow.
Mike Smith takes over, or in some ways resumes. He had ridden for Bob S. a couple of different times. Drayden Van Dyke piloted Marley's Freedom to the Desert Stormer and the Great Lady M victories. This Ballerina also marks the first start for Union Strike J under the care of Steve Asmussen, just kind of a sidebar. And, of course, she made a splashy two-year-old debut going back to 2016 and is really just really never moved forward from her two-year-old form.
Right. I mean, and, you know, obviously, maybe now she's got a chance to improve off of that form, but I'd want to see it first out of her. But I mean, certainly she has a right to move forward coming into this race for Asmussen. But like I said, I really think Marley's Freedom has gotten very, very good, and I think she's going to be a tough nut to crack tomorrow.
Ivy Bell in here for Todd Pletcher, and of course Finley's Lucky Charm, the plucky five-year-old for Brett Calhoun. Lewis Bay, another of the players, and this has been an arena, the Philly and Mare Sprinting, you know, that Chad Brown has had a consistent, you know, good, strong players in that category. Jay, the local stuff. Let's go to Del Mar and talk a little bit about that group and the Pat O'Brien. And you mentioned Catalina Cruiser, and I brought up Battle of Midway making a return to racing after an aborted stallion try.
It's really a terrific field. You've got those two, and then you've got Roy H., last year's male sprint champion, Breeders' Cup sprint winner. And then you've also got Ransom the Moon, who just won the Bing Crosby Grade 1 six furlong race. Beating Roy H., the Pat O'Brien tomorrow is at 7/8. But, I mean, the core of this race is as good a field as there's been in a stake race at Del Mar this summer. There's still some question over whether or not Roy H. is going to run. You know, he seems like he's better at six furlongs at seven, and their ultimate goal, obviously, is the defense of his Breeders' Cup sprint title. So there's, you know, perhaps he wouldn't run and they would wait for the Phantom Nita Sprint Championship, or maybe they just use this race and train straight into the Breeders' Cup. There's, you know, maybe there's a combination, one of those combinations. So we'll know more over the next 24 hours regarding him. You know, Battle of Midway, it's just hard to know where he's at. He's trained well. But, you know, Flavian Pratt had been working him, and he got caught in a spot here. They had already committed to Ransom the Moon, and so Battle of Midway needed a rider. And so they've got Mario Gutierrez picks up a prime mount here. You know, he drew well, being on the outside. 7/8 will be a better distance for him than perhaps 6 if they'd have waited for the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. I just don't know if he needs maybe another work or two before being at his absolute best. But regardless, this is a good spot for him to get started, and then you can move forward off of this race. I mean, if he gets a good race in here, then maybe there's no real appropriate. You know, his goal would be a defense of his dirt mile title if he comes back as good as he left, and I could envision him maybe even going to something like the Kelso as a final race prior to the Breeders' Cup, because you know, you could stay at around a one turn mile as opposed to maybe going in the Awesome again. You'd have to run against Accelerate, and then you back up to a turn back to a one turn mile. But first things first, let's see how he comes back tomorrow, and then they can make some plans from there. You know, like I was saying earlier, Catalina Cruiser just continues to impress, both in his races, and he's lightly raced, but at San Diego was terrific, and he just trains like a really, really, really good horse. As I was saying, he and City of Light have just stood out every morning with every breeze this summer. And, you know, Ransom the Moon won, you know, he beat a good field last time in the Bing Crosby, and he obviously loves this racetrack, and 7/8 shouldn't bother him. One thing that I think they've really learned with him is that you want to hold him up early and make a run. And that seems to be a preferred style for him. I thought he ran well using those tactics in the Bing Crosby, and I think you'll see a similar approach tomorrow in the Pat O'Brien.
Yeah, I should also mention, you mentioned the Bing Crosby. St. Joe Bay, of course, won the San Carlos before coming downstate, and it's really been the summer of Sadler in a lot of ways. St. Joe Bay adds plenty of lick to this. It's a terrific addition. We also are looking at what's going on elsewhere on the card. The Shared Belief shares the billing in terms of stakes. And then Jay, in the opener tomorrow, 5.5 furlong maiden special for fillies, and I happen to see a name from your preseason 2-year-old discussion, Honey from the South, the FedBiz filly that was with David Hoffman's and now shows up under Baffert's care.
Right. She was privately purchased by Five Star Racing after her good second to Baffert trained chasing yesterday, the second weekend of the meet. So that's why she's now in Baffert's barn. The people who now own her made an offer that the previous connections of Honey from the South couldn't refuse, and so that's why she has moved over to Baffert's barn.
Excellent. All right. I wanted to, because I recognized the name from, you know, from your preseason preview piece, and a lot of those have come to fruition. And Jay, one thing from last week, the performance by Catapult, kind of a step forward in the mile, and of course, the rest of the Pacific Classic action. Some final thoughts about last week.
So yeah, Catapult is really. There's a couple reasons I think he's improved. First off, I just think he's running against, from a stakes standpoint, a better group of horses for him to shine against out here in California, in the mile and an eighth division. But he's obviously. He obviously loves the firm kind of ground he's getting out here. It just really suits him, and he's done great. He's had 3 starts now since moving out here and being trained by Sadler. And he ran well in his first race and just got beat, and then he's come back with 2 victories. And I just think this is what he wants to do. He wants a mile to maybe a mile and an eighth, which because he won the Eddie Reed, But most of all, he wants just the really firm ground that you get out here at California, especially in the summertime at Del Mar. And he, you know, he was part of that sensational day for Drayden Van Dyke when he won 7 races on the card last Sunday. And then I don't know what else you could say about Accelerate. I mean, he's just gone from strength to strength this summer. He won the Pacific Classic. He was supposed to win the Pacific Classic, but I don't know that he was supposed to win it quite as emphatically as he did. He got a career best buyer speed figure of 115. He's just a much better horse now at 5 than he was at 3 or 4. He's gotten faster, as his buyer speed figures have shown. He's gotten better equipped to run a mile and a quarter. He's got now 3 victories at that distance this year in the Santa Anita Handicap, the Gold Cup, which is now at Santa Anita, and the Pacific Classic. And the only horse who beat him this year is City of Light in the Oakland Handicap. And it wasn't by much. And City of Light's a darn good horse. So Accelerate is certainly as good as he's ever been now.
Well, Jay Pribman, big weekend. Del Mar last week, Saratoga gets its feature. And we're going to check in with Dave Grenig next. Appreciate it. Enjoy another big weekend as we hurtle toward the end of the summer season. We'll get some recap thoughts from you next week.
Sounds good, Steve. Have a fun Travers Day.
I appreciate it. Jay Pribman, everybody. DRF Pribman. And we'll stay right here. And we've got to the top of the hour to spend with Dave Grenig. And so much to do with Dave. So we will save the 2.5 minutes or so and get right into it with him. And, you know, one of the things that I mentioned yesterday and I kept on the desk because I wanted to do it with Dave, the betting menu notes, 3 pick fours, races 2, 8, and 10 start the pick fours. You've got the Naira Betts pick 5, races 7 through 11, and then an all grade 1 pick 6. So there's that. And of course, on the TV front, Saratoga Live 1 to 4 before NBC picks up with their 4 to 6 telecast that includes the Sword Dancer and the Travers. Dave Grenig, good morning.
Steve, how's it going?
Excellent. And, of course, New York Summer Showcase Day today before giving rise to the 149th running of the Travers.
It's two very good cards. The New York Showcase always comes up, well, actually did come up stronger than I thought it would, because it looked like from the noms that some of those races could be light, but I guess we had some supplements, and, you know, those races are typically solid betting races. With the emergence of some of these New York breds into the open company, it sort of gives some of these other horses an opportunity to run for some good money, especially the two-year-olds.
Well, regarding the two-year-olds, any, you got a lean? Because I thought both of those, the Funny Side and the Seeking the Ante, were really well matched.
I got to tell you, Steve, I'm so into the Travers Day card that today's card is beyond me. So,
all right,
I have nothing in front of me to even look at. I'm onto this. I'm onto this week and next week. So I can't. Unfortunately, I can't tell you there.
You can't look back, even though it's still pending.
So. Today is long gone in my book.
Exactly. All right, let's start.
9 o'clock in the morning, and it's longer.
Exactly. Let's start with the Travers, and then we'll move through the rest of the card. And just talk with Jay, and, you know, he started the discussion with Good Magic, and obviously it does begin there, but there's plenty of fascinating participants. Your Travers thoughts?
Yeah, the horse right next, I don't know if they're stabled right next to each other, but you know, Gronkowski could be sitting on a major race here. And it's funny, you know, obviously the videos that Mike Welsh and I do, the first one of the year, I think I knocked Gronkowski, and either Chad saw it or got back to Chad. And he said, you know, he'll probably make me eat my words. And in the works that I've seen from that horse since then, they've really impressed me. And I think there's a scenario here where the pace could be good for him. The key for Gronkowski is not to get stopped. If you look at the overhead, and there's a good shot that you can Google for the overhead of the Belmont Stakes when he's second to Justify. He makes that big run, long sustained run, but he never gets stopped. There's never a straw in his path. It's like, you know, Get Smart opening where every door opens and, you know, he goes in it and just rallies right through. If he gets that type of trip on Saturday, I think he's going to be very tough to beat.
Interesting. Dot the field and talk about, you know, some of the other question marks. Vino Rosso with the the unusual running when it came to the Jim Dandy. He had of course Tenfold kind of getting distracted by either the photographer's stand or the tote board. Wonder Goodot's involvement here adds a certain element of intrigue.
You know, after I, you know, initially it was like, you know, what are we, you know, what are we doing here with this filly? How cute are we trying to get? And then after several conversations with Mark and, you know, trying to find out why this filly's gotten better, and, you know, is it the blinkers? Is it the restricted company? And, you know, he's kind of poo-pooed both, including the equipment change. And he said, you know what, it's just distance. And he said, if you look at her races at a mile and eighth or beyond, you know, they're her best races. And he's not wrong. Came out of the Breeders' Cup last year with a troubled trip, sixth, won the Demoiselle nicely at a mile and eighth. And she doesn't run a mile and eighth again until the Kentucky Oaks. And she ran great there. And if you watch that race, you know, I think it's the 3/8 pole, she gets bumped by Coach Rocks and gets knocked off stride. Now, obviously she got bumped again with, she exchanged bumps with Monomoy Girl, but that bump at the 3/8 pole might have been more costly than even that one. She might have, you know, got, you know, her stride got a little bit off balance for a stride or two. And then, you know, the last three races, even the Woodbine, I guess the one race I had trouble grappling with is the Woodbine Oaks because she was such a heavy favorite. It was such just an okay field, but she gets off bad there. She's wide throughout, and she just didn't sustain the run. And maybe Dixie Louie's a little bit better than I thought. But I don't know. That's the one race that just sort of that troubles me a little bit. But, you know, the distance is going to play into her favor. I guess it's just a matter of whether she's good enough. Tenfold, I think, is going to be into the race. See, one reason why I like Gronkowski is because I think there's enough pace-type horses in this race that someone's going to be up there, you know, and it's not going to be someone loose on the lead, you know, between Catholic Boy, Bravazo, Trigger Warning, maybe even a Meistermind, or, you know, I just think, and even Wonder Gadoot, I just think there's going to be a legitimate pace where they spread out enough that Gronkowski could get that, you know, ground saving trip inside the first turn, around the turn, tip out, and then come with the, you know, he doesn't have an acceleration, you know, a great turn of foot, but he's a grinder type that I think the mile and a quarter is going to play into. And the one wild card, Steve, is Vino Rosso. I don't know how good this horse is. I think he's going to get the right condition/setup to show his best. I just don't know what that is. Do you? Because I don't.
I don't, and it's funny, of those kinds of horses that have danced the dances, I've got more confidence in Bravazo running an A race than I do Vino Rosso.
You know, Bravazo is, I did that story on Wayne for the Thursday Forum, and, you know, I looked at his three previous Travers winners, and my first year in the game was 1991, so Corporate Report was the first Travers that I covered. And everyone made the big deal about, you know, Baffert, and rightly so, Baffert's Justify, you know, ooh, starting February 18th and, you know, winning the Triple Crown. How about Bravazo? Bravazo starts March 3rd. He ran in all three Triple Crown races, runs in the Swaps and Haskell before he wins the Travers. He ran 10 times from March 3rd to August 17th, and he ended his career. I think he got hurt in the Travers and went to Travers. My point in all this is, that, you know, Wayne tests these horses and see what they can take. And Bravazo, like Corporate Report, like Thunder Gulch, and like Will Take Charge 3 years ago, 5 years ago, just takes it and keeps saying, what else you got for me? And, you know, he's the only one left standing who ran in all three Triple Crown races, ran a credible race in the Haskell. And now here he is, you know, probably flying under the radar. And I agree with you. I think he's going to run. I'm more confident that he'll hit the top four than almost any other horse that I'm thinking about. Him and Gronkowski will be in the top four at some point. Those two will be in the top four, I believe.
I like that. And this is the way you've got to approach this race. If you're going to play supers and tries, you've got to just make some determinations about how the pace is going to unfold and, you know, who you think benefits and let the chips fall where they may. Let's go to the Jerkins, Dave, and we'll have the password lightning round. Here is the annual 7-furlong grade one opportunity. We had a few horses that made the move to the return to the one turn and promises fulfilled, and Firenze Fire obviously lead this group, and promises fulfilled drawing the rail kind of forces Luis Saez and Dale Romans' hands.
Yeah, but that's where they want to be anyway. I mean, that's I think that's, they want to be forwardly placed. You know, they don't have a strike power to worry about in here. You know, to me, if he breaks, who's running with him? I mean, I guess the wild card there is Jiddu. You know, he's trying dirt for the first time. He's got speed, shown speed on the turf. Is he fast enough to run with a horse like Promises Fulfilled? But Promises, there's not a lot of speed in this race. Promises Fulfilled breaks running. Boy, he could be really tough to catch. Engage is trained better, I think, since the Amsterdam. You know, we had a lot of time off between the Woody Stevens and the Amsterdam. I think he'll come with a decent run. A horse that I've probably sold short, but I need to look at him some more, is Still Having Fun. 13-1 winner in the Woody Stevens. If you draw a line through his route races, you know, what has he done wrong? In fact, I don't think he's been worse than second in six starts, and some of them in pretty decent company, including second to Mattoli, who, if he was healthy and was in here, he'd be getting a lot of play. And then obviously Ferenc Fire, you know, that Dwyer was ultra impressive. He survived the Triple Crown Trail, you know, did the races to get to the Derby, and then, you know, survived the Derby where he finished mid-pack, and then comes back with that stellar performance. But I think they're all going to have to catch Promises Fulfilled, and this is one where you want to see how the track's playing and to get an idea of how deep you might have to go in this race.
The Personal Ensign and the Mile in the Eighth, for many years this came on the Sunday after Travers, now part of this Super Series, sextet of grade ones, and Abel Tasman makes a return to Saratoga, and the Coaching Club American Oaks performance from a year ago, and, you know, is obviously spotting, you know, some recency to a late and feral and so forth, but feels like a little bit of a showdown between Abel Tasman and a late. I'm going to give real serious consideration to Wowcat, second North America, after probably needing to be put up in that UV.
Yeah, it might have been a worthwhile claim of foul there, but one was not lodged. But this one is just, my judgment is clouded by what I've seen the last few weeks in front of me, and I think Elaith has trained magnificently. And to be honest with you, I have ultimate respect for Bob Baffert, obviously, and Chad with Wildcat and Abel Tasman and Wildcat, respectively. But if I'm playing pick whatever, I think I'm signaling a late. I've just been way impressed with her, you know, her training and what I've seen from her in the morning. She dusted Hofburg in a work here 2 weeks ago, and came back with another solid move thereafter. So if I'm taking a stand somewhere, I think I'm taking a stand here. And I'm taking it with a late.
How about you? All right. I like it. mincing no words. That takes us to the Ballerina. And you noted that the Jerkins may not have a whole bunch of speed horses. Well, as it turns out, the Forgo, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the Ballerina, they both are lacking, you know, open mouth speed.
Yes, I would tend to agree with that. Certainly the Forgo. I have a feeling that I don't think they're going to let Finley's Lucky Charm get away. Who runs with her? I don't know. Maybe Lewis Bay might stalk right off of her. Who else was I thinking of? I think Ivy Bell could be close, maybe not. I'm not sure. Still there, has a little bit of speed. I just don't see Finley's Lucky Charm getting loose on the lead in here just because of, you know, what she's done and who she is. But she'll be tough. But this is a tough race. I kind of favor Lewis Bay just because, you know, when Chad sets a target, And he did right after that race. And I'm just going to point right to this race. And I think 7/8 is a good distance for her. I think she'll be ultra tough. The wild card to me is Union Strike. I mean, she hasn't run that well in a while. And you know, we'll see what Steve Asmussen has up his sleeve for this horse. But I'm looking at Lewis Bay, Finley's Lucky Charm. And I guess in this race, I don't know what to do with Baffert's horse, Marley's Freedom. The race in San Anita was huge. The race in Los Al was just okay, it looked like to me.
Well, when you get a chance to listen to Jay Brittman, Jay thinks Marley's Freedom is the filly to beat in there.
Okay.
He thinks a big effort is in the offing. Speaking of big efforts in the offing, City of Light drew the advantageous outside for the 7/8 run. Nice eclectic group in the forego, and I can tell you one horse I'm going to look at three or four times is Whitmore, because I have missed all four of Moquette's winners this meet.
Yeah, if this was three quarters, I think Whitmore's best at three quarters, could get 7/8 in the right circumstances. This is a deep field. I think I'm wondering if, you know, I'm not so sure that he can beat these look, City of Light's gonna mention, you know, the key to going back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, there's not a lot of speed in this field. And, you know, if he breaks running, he could be awful tough to catch. And if he doesn't break running, or if there's somebody else who wants to lead, you know, he's posted advantageously on the outside that he can, lay off whatever's in front of him. If it's somebody is hell bent on the lead. So I think where he's drawn, the distance is, you know, what is he, 2 for 3, two grade ones at the just at 7/8. They had options. They chose this one. I think he's awful tough. I could see where some people might say, okay, Grenning's taking a stand with the late in race 7. They're going to take a stand with City of Light in race 9, and I couldn't argue with them there.
CZ Rocket coming off that big effort at Churchill in the Kelly's Landing.
And very dangerous, then, very dangerous yep. horse. I agree there. That would be my backup right there. And how good did No Dozing get? You know, with off the layoff, gelded, ran a big race. Does he move forward off that race, or does he back up? I guess the only negative there is he beat Behavioral Bias, who came back and didn't run very well in his next start. And then, you know, I don't want to short shift Louise Limousine Liberal.
Yes.
But, I wonder, we'll see how he did win from the rail in the Belmont Sprint, beating Whitmore with a bit of trouble. He's well rested, and, he's another, top sprinter. Just hasn't maybe given you his best at Saratoga. You wonder how that, that plays a factor in here.
Well, of course, last year in the Vanderbilt, he really never threatened. The year before, he ran, he ran into Run Happy and
right.
ran a dynamic race.
True.
I thought he was a winner in the King's Bishop. The elusive graded stake win for Ben Colebrook and for KK Ball, that came down state, and then a return to Keeneland, 57-4. A few weeks ago, in his first serious work after the win, and then he came back with another bullet 11 days ago. So, Limousine Liberal is consistent and hard hitting, of $1.6 million in earnings. The Sword Dancer, and got a lot of familiar names, and then a couple of potentially emergent types. Some thoughts about this kind of eclectic group.
It's a jump ball, isn't it? I think what's Sadler's Joy is the favorite, 7-2 morning line favorite. And I'm probably going to go back to the well one more time with High Happy, just thinking that he hated the soft ground last time in the Bowling Green. His buddy, the Scooter Dickey horse, he doesn't have his buddy
one go
to chase, but perhaps I don't know, maybe Glorious Empire from the inside or somebody can go. And High Happy's better with a target. He's better on firm ground. I'm hoping he has a target. I think the ground is going to, the weather's been good. I guess maybe Fantastic could be that target this time. I think he's going to get, if you the key now, I think, to the turf, by the way, is getting to the inside two paths now that the rails are down. It just seems like that's where the winners are coming from for the most part, not in totality. But so I think if he can get over it and stalk like a fantastic with the ground getting a little bit firmer, I think High Happy's going to give his best, a return to his best. And whether that's good enough, remains to be seen, because Sadler's Joy is, he's going to come. He's going to make a run, because he rarely never fires, rarely doesn't fire. But that, to me, is, I think those are the two there, High Happy and Sadler's Joy.
I also am keyed in on Sadler's Joy, who's been a personal favorite, and Castellano, I'm certainly not going to say mistimed anything. This is a horse that is frequently a victim of pace, and he's going to get pace in here. There are some horses that could keep this thing at least reasonably honest. Spring quality comes back out of since the Manhattan. I love that. The Youngs and Barkley Tag bypassed the restricted stake the other day, and certainly the softish turf contributed to that decision. But Highland Sky, the 5-year-old veteran, would love to see him win a race like this. He's that kind of horse that deserves it in his career. Let's look at the Boston Spa, Dave, as well, and Chad with the half the field, but that guarantees really nothing. A couple of others that are very competitive, including Proctor's Ledge, who we know loves this course.
Yeah, I think the key there to me is Johnny Velasquez getting back on Proctor's Ledge. If you go back and watch the Diana, Johnny's on Sister Charlie, and he knows who he has to beat, because if you watch, he's riding right outside Proctor's Ledge, and he's got Jose boxed in there for a good portion of the race. When he makes his move, he sort of leads Proctor's Ledge a little bit, and Proctor's Ledge didn't pick it up as much as you would have liked to seen, but he only got beat 2.5 lengths. And I think that Johnny getting back on, Johnny has a win and a second. The second was to a Raving Beauty in the Just a Game, where Proctor's Ledge was giving 6 pounds to a Raving Beauty. Now it's an 8-pound swing because she's getting 2 pounds from a Raving Beauty. Who obviously is the deserving favorite, will be odds on, and is strictly the horse to beat. But I think you got to, and she'll be on every ticket that I use. But I'm also going to fool around with Proctor's Ledge, and I might even fool around with Hawksmore, with Castellano to get in the mount. So it's a 6-horse field. Obviously, you're going to have a heavy favorite, but I might take a shot with a Proctor's Ledge, and then obviously can use her with a Raving Beauty.
Nice. Well, there's your stakes glance. There is, of course, also some maiden action. We do have a maiden opener where one of Larry Best's expensive purchases, the $850,000 OBS March Pioneer of the Nile colt, Gray's Creek, draws the rail. This was a colt bred by the L&J Foxwood team, the Roths, and Rad Ortiz rides. Looks
who came
like
out of that race last year, by the way.
Ooh. Who?
Good Magic.
Ooh.
Good Magic ran at 11:30 a.m. on Travers Day last year, and was second to a horse that people probably, we've all lost track of, it has it. But Good Magic ran in the first race on the Travers Day card at 11:30. 2017. Now this year he'll be running in the 11th race at 5:44 as the favorite in the $1.25 million race.
How about that? Nice job. Well, it's a terrific Travers Day, Dave. Weather has finally given us a break, and it's gorgeous again today. Looks like a gorgeous day tomorrow. It should be a banner day. I don't know if the house is going to be able to make up for the lost revenue from all the off the turf races, but it should be a big day.
You know what? It's unrealistic to expect this any place that this to keep going and going and going. 3 years over $600 million in handle. They were due for a down meet. The weather is always the key to the success or lack thereof of this meet. And while they won't make it all back, they should have a banner day today and tomorrow.
Well, Dave Grenig is your
guide today, tomorrow, through Travers Day. And Dave, I appreciate it. Enjoy Travers. We'll look forward to recapping it with you next week.
Sounds good, Steve. Have a good one.
Dave Greinig, DRF Greinig, everybody, and a big first 45 minutes here with Priv and with Greinig. Let's take a timeout. Nick Tamaro standing by, and we'll bring Nick in, and we'll go through these races again, and we'll get his take as well as anything else that's caught his eye. And he is on Talking Horses today, so maybe he's got a couple of prime plays on a challenging card. I'm just finishing up trying to finish up the pick five play early, and it is a tough ticket to put together for reasonable money. I don't want to go over the top in terms of budget. Let's take a break. NTAM 1215, Nick Tamaro next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.